So I'm going to ask Jerry Campbell to come up here. Y'all give him a round of applause, please. Amen.
We didn't change the rules. We just expanded them. That's a politician's word, okay? I'm struggling a wee bit with what's transpired in our worship this morning, and the Gideon message is a gospel message, but it's a little different from what I feel like needs to be done, but I'm going to do it anyway, okay? I'm going to be obedient to my calling as a Gideon. Bob Pruitt checked in a hotel in Tallahassee, Florida, with the intent of ending his life. He had spent his family's resources on drugs, and now the drugs were gone, his money was gone, and ending the misery seemed the best thing for him to do. Instead of ending his life, he found life-giving in a copy of God's Word. He knew that there was something in his life that he was missing, and he wanted something real. And that day, through a Gideon Bible that was placed, that you helped do, he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You see, his life matters, as does every person's life. When the Gideon's International began in 1898, the purpose was for Christian traveling men to hold each other spiritually accountable for being a witness to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, Associated Together for Service remains a primary objective of the Gideon's. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are 171,000 Gideons and some 96,000 auxiliary wives of Gideons who carry out this ministry together in 200 countries. All members are accountable to God and one another, and the ministry of the Gideons is serving and seeking the lost. The first distribution of hotel Bibles took place in 1908. That means the association was organized 10 years before it ever placed the first Bible, although that's what we're known for. Those Gideons in 1908 would never have guessed the impact of what they started was occurring today. Gideons and Auxiliary provided over 87 million scriptures around the globe this past year. In fact, for your information, and I know sometimes we get lost in statistics, but for the last 6 years, Gideons have averaged a little over 85 million copies of the Word God being placed somewhere in the world. That's a little over two every second. Put your hand on your heart. Two scriptures. Somewhere in the world, 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And you help. That's the glorious thing about it. You share in this through your support of the Gideon Ministry. It was a pastor who initially proposed that churches support the distribution of God's Word through the Gideon Ministry. Today, that partnership still exists, and I'm thankful I have a good relationship with your pastor. Okay? Connie Stanley, the wife of Gideon, was the only customer shopping in a store. Shane, the store clerk, had offered to help with a repair gift pen that Connie showed her, and Connie told Shane, "I have a gift for you." And she shared with her a New Testament. And a customer came in, so Connie told Shane, said, I'll leave you be, but when you have time, please read it, and if you turn to the back, we got the Romans Road back there, okay? Well, Connie got outside, and she stepped outside of the building. She realized the Lord prompting her to go back, so she went back in, and she said, I couldn't get you off my mind. I believe the Lord wanted me to come back and talk to you. Connie then asked Shane if she was ready to accept Christ as her Savior. She prayed, and Connie signed the back of the book acknowledging that she had accepted Christ as her Savior. The world population is approximately 7.5 billion people. The tragic thing is that two-thirds are estimated not to know Jesus Christ. You and my and the Gideon's task is to endeavor to reach those who are lost and with those with which we have contact. The world's in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, every witnessing experience and every copy of God's Word can impact one or more lives. I think Pastor showed last Sunday a testimony of a man who had been born as a, I believe he said, a trick baby and came to know Jesus. He is a powerful man. He asked me if I had heard that testimony. I said, yeah, I've met the man. He is a man of God. And God really changed him. 87.3 million copies of the Word of God distributed this past year somewhere in the world. In addition, 5 million copies of the Gospel of John were given by students who are Christian by their Christian schoolmates. Those scriptures were provided through the Gideon's International. For the investment of less than $1.20, I used to say $1.25, but our association has made some changes that has resulted in the cost and placing of this scripture has now been reduced from $1.25 to a little less than $1.20 a copy. So I guess that's a good way to appeal. How many of these would you like to donate this morning? 10 of them would be $12. 20 of them would be $24. 100 would be $120. Okay, y'all get the picture? A $5 gift enables us to purchase and place the scripture in a motel or a hotel, hospital, doctor's offices, attorney's offices. It has the real potential of touching in a motel or hotel 2,300 lives in its anticipated 6 years lifetime. We try to make sure that if they get soiled, if they get torn, if they get written in, we replace them. But we don't throw them away. Most of them are sentenced to prison for life. Okay? So I guess the question is, what would the Father have you do? Yeah, I'm going to take up an offering. And, you can, if you didn't bring a large amount of money and got your checkbook with you, you can write a check to Gideon's International, you can write it to New Vision, you can write Jerry Campbell, I'll make sure it gets there, okay? No, we don't accept any pay. I've been doing this since February of 1974. I found a place where God could use me. So if the ushers will come, we're going to take an offering, and I'm going to change atmospheres, okay?
I was just getting clarification from Jerry, but I want you to think about this. He said 87.5 million Bibles were given out this past year. Now, wrap your fingers around this. All 87 million or 87.5 million had to be given out by Gideon. They don't do mass distributing and take a big bunch of Bibles somewhere and drop them off and leave. They give them out, Bible by Bible. I think that's pretty powerful. So let's pray over this ministry. Father, we love you, and I thank you that you've allowed our church to be a part of the Gideons ever since I've been here, and I'm sure it was before. But God, I just thank you for this offering that we're going to give. This is a love offering. And Lord, I pray that you would bless every single Bible that's purchased. And God, that one day, maybe when we're in heaven, we'll find out that some Bible that we purchased touched somebody's heart and somebody's life and changed them forever. It will happen, and it has happened, and it's going to happen again. So God, I just pray over the Gideons and all the faithful men and women of the Gideons that you would minister to them and bless them. Continue to open up doors in areas where there's not any Bibles so that they can take it in so people have a chance to accept you as Lord and Savior. We love you and we give you praise for this ministry and for our opportunity to give in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Also, our youth are taking up an offering today. They had a service up on the mountain in the cabin and had worship and a word, and then they was taking up a Gideon offering. So I thank God for that. That's pretty awesome. Amen.
Some of you, and I don't want to get distracted, but until they get through with all the offering, some of you know I had the opportunity in 2003 to go to South America, went to Colombia, spent a week in Bogota, very dangerous country, in 2003, and a week in Barranquilla with 31 other Gideons, from most of them from the United States, a few from other countries. And in that two-week period of time, we had the opportunity of distributing, placing 950,000 copies of the Word of God. That's something, folks. I was partnered with a younger man at that point, and we went to a college one morning at 7 o'clock. There were 120 cases of testaments, little testaments, 100 in each case, and he and I gave them out until they were gone at 7 o'clock that night. He kept wanting to stop and take a break, and I kept telling myself, well, go ahead. I think I embarrassed him. He wouldn't stop because I wouldn't stop. I didn't have but about 20 years on him. So anyway, it's been a good thing. If you have your scriptures, if you would, I'm going to try to do something this morning that is impossible. Turn to John chapter 3. I want to read two very familiar portions of Scripture, one from John chapter 3 and one from Ezekiel chapter 37. Both should be familiar to you. If they're not, you're not reading your Bible like you ought to be reading, okay? That didn't cost any extra. John 3, I am reading from the Amplified Version. It says, now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, that is a leader, an authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are certain that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs, these wonder works, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that unless a person is born again, he cannot ever see, he cannot be acquainted with, he cannot experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't be astonished at my telling you. You must all be born anew. The wind blows, or it breathes, is the correct word, where it wills, and though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from nor where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now keep your finger in John 3 because we're going to come back, but flip over to Ezekiel 37. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, he says. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Can anything dead live? Now, what are you asking? 1 Corinthians 15:35, and we won't go there. The same question was asked in a little different way when it said, how can the dead be raised? And they were talking about the resurrection in that account, okay? Verse 4 of Ezekiel 37, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I got too many references, I know that. But John 5:28 says there's coming a time when the dead will hear. Oh boy, do I dare say that. Anybody dead this morning? You got to hear. I'm learning something that the Word of God says faith. I'm going to condense this expression, Pastor. You check me if I'm wrong, okay? But it says faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Now, if you're not practicing reading the Word of God out loud, you are missing it. Because you can't hear it if you don't read it out loud. I mean, if you can, I'd like to know how. Most of us, when we read it, we don't read it out loud, I fear. But the Word says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Verse 5 says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. Oh, I hope I can get there. He says, you got to have a physical birth and a spiritual birth to live. Two births. How many people walking around today who have that physical birth and never had a spiritual birth? What did I say? 7.5 billion people and two-thirds of them don't know Jesus Christ. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you. And you, dry bones, shall live, and you shall know, you shall understand, you shall realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I'm waiting for that day to happen in New Vision Ministries right here in Lincoln, North Carolina. One of these days, the bones are going to rise up. One of these days, somebody's going to be willing to prophesy skin and bone, skin and flesh to come upon the bones and speak. Oh, Lord, what a day. And I looked, verse 8, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones. Flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. Folks, it is a process. Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know where the concept ever came from that one can be saved and that's it. No, it's not right. How many, oh, Lord, I hate to go like this. We have kids and we have grandkids and now I have 7 great-grandkids, praise the Lord, and another one on the way. March the 2nd. But you know, if 20 years from now, those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids were still in diapers feeding off of a milk bottle, I would be very disappointed. I'll let you think about that. Here they were, dry bones. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament says, unless a seed dies, it cannot multiply. That's my translation, okay? But unless something dies, there is no opportunity for real life. You and I, one of these days, we're going to get the message that this old self's got to die for the spirit to move. Oh, Lord. I won't get there. Anyway, then he said to me in verse 9, prophesy to the breath. The King James says, prophesy to the wind. But the correct word is breath and spirit. Then he said, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied that he commanded me, and the breath and spirit came unto the bones, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great host. Go back to John. I really hate when... in the middle of trying to do something, the Lord changes what he wants me to do. But I'm willing to change. I'm telling you, the older you get, the harder it is to change. But I believe preacher said something about change earlier today, didn't he? If we don't change, we're going to miss it, folks. Hold your place in John 3, but I want to go two places. One is John 20. Help me, Lord, get there. I want to tell you something. God's real, and his Holy Spirit is real. And I used to tell people I spent 22 years in a Methodist church. Good old-fashioned, old-timey shouting Methodist church, and 22 years in a Southern Baptist church. And their indoctrination to me was that once you're saved, you got it all. They lied to me. John 20, I'm going to read you two accounts. I guess I should have told you, I don't know whether he put that up, but the title of this thing is Empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Now, preacher kids me sometimes about words that I use. And I'll use a word and he'll say, what do you mean? So I have to give him the definition of that word. And he said, well, why didn't you just say that? So in case he doesn't understand empowerment, the definition is the process of becoming stronger and more confident, especially in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. Empowerment means that either authority or power is given to someone to do something. You and I need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what He commanded us to do. If you have a trouble, as I had for years, of witnessing and testifying to what Christ had done in my life, the problem is you don't have the Holy Spirit the way you need Him to be able to do that. Part of my testimony is 22 years in Methodist Church, I took every course they ever had, ever developed on witnessing and testifying. Didn't help a bit. 22 years in the Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church, and they have good material that can tell you how to witness and how to testify. Didn't help a bit. 1975, I got burned. I got introduced to the Holy Spirit. And it made a difference. John chapter 20, if you will, starting with verse 19. So you kind of get the perspective of this thing. There had been a period, Jesus had appeared, and then Thomas wasn't there, and Jesus had to come back and show again. But listen, it says on verse 19, then on that day, that same first day of the week, when it was evening, though the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace to you. Now understand, he's died. He's been put in a grave, and he's raised, okay? That's an interesting scenario. He didn't need doors to go through. He didn't need windows to go through. He just walked through the wall. Glory be to God. Verse 20, so saying, he showed them his hands and his side, if you will, to prove that he was who he was. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. I better not go there. 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, hold on to that and turn over to Acts chapter 1. This thing confused me for most of my adult life, okay? Hold on to John 20, 22, where Jesus, it says, that he breathed on his disciples. Y'all do know that they were not saved as we understand salvation today. They spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and they were not, quote, saved, end quote, because Jesus had not died. The price had not been paid. So they are his disciples, followers, if you will, but not saved as we understand that term today. Y'all with me? Okay. But it says he breathed on them in John 20, 22, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 1, I'm going to go to verse 4. And it says, while being in their company and eating with them, this is Jesus now, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, introduced into, the Holy Spirit. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you establish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? Now they were looking for a political kingdom. Dan touched on this in Sunday school this morning. The kings of Israel, all during the Old Testament age, were warriors. were political leaders. And they had the promise of a Messiah who would come would be the perfect king. So they were looking for a political leader. And he said to them, it's not for you to become acquainted with. It's not for you to know what time brings, the things and events of time and their different periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed by his own choice and authority and personal power. But, verse 8, you shall receive power, that is an ability, an efficiency, and the might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends and very bounds of the earth. Now, I don't know about you whether that's confusing or not, but it confused me for years. Back in John, which was an earlier occasion, Jesus looked at them after his resurrection, spoke to them, and says he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you think they received the Holy Spirit then? If Jesus said it, I believe it. So if he said to them, it's like, here it is, I am giving you the Holy Spirit. And then over here in Acts, which is a little later, he says, I want you to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Got to be two different occasions, right? Something's got to be different. Go back to John 3. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Oh, if I can get there. I made mention two things in reading from Ezekiel. One was from 1 Corinthians 15:35. Where I said the question is, how can the dead be raised? They were talking about the resurrection. The thought is death must come before life. And then I mentioned John 5:28, where the scripture says, the time will come when those in the graves will hear his voice. Can the dead hear? The dead did hear. Yeah, they heard. Were those bones dead? Well, the scripture says they were. I mean, you got dry bones laying out in the desert. I kind of believe they're dead. But the prophet spoke to them. And through a process, they... Boy, if we could come in here one morning and not have any of the preliminaries and everybody start walking through the door and just praising God and singing hallelujah, glory, and woo! Praise team wouldn't have time to sing any songs. They'd just be singing in the spirit. Preacher wouldn't have time to preach. He'd just be giving message in tongues and somebody giving interpretation. And well, y'all look at me like that far. I've been there. Preacher's been there. Some of the rest of you have been places like that. How many of you been to the ramp? Yeah, they scattered people around. Down there like that? Tim, doesn't that happen? And we send our kids down there every year. Pastor was talking about the kids earlier. One of these days, oh, Lord, yeah, in trouble. One of these days, I'm praying that every adult's mouth will be shut and our kids will just open wide open and go wild. It's hard, folks, when you get to a certain age to change and accept new things. Now, some of you think you know what I'm talking about, but you ain't there yet. It's hard. I have to die every day. John chapter 3, drop down to verse 10. Jesus and Nicodemus having a conversation, and Jesus replied to the question that Nicodemus asked, how in the world could you be born a second time? Jesus replied, are you the teacher of Israel and yet do not know or understand these things? Are they strange to you? Jesus says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, we speak only of what we know. What we have actually seen is what we are testifying to. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he has, how do I say this? Got too many notes. Jesus is saying, I can do the things that I do because I have seen the kingdom. And folks, you and I can't enter the kingdom until we first see it. Jesus' simple prayer was that we would pray that his kingdom would come on this earth as it's already come in the heavens. And Jesus says, I've seen the kingdom, so I can testify to you of the kingdom. Oh, boy. Preacher, I need 3 more hours. I need the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit because Christ has said that we are to testify of him and be a witness for him. And through the next 20 scriptures I've got, trust me to tell you that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, if you want to call it second blessing, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me. We cannot testify to what Christ has done in our lives because we've only taken the first step in salvation. You understand? There is, if I can use this language, a second blessing. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They talk about John's baptism. They said John's baptism was one of water, repentance for sin. But the scriptures say when he, Jesus, comes, he will baptize you with water, with the Spirit, with fire. I guess it's with Spirit and fire. Isn't that right, Pastor? He'll baptize you with Spirit and fire. You see the Holy Spirit move last week? Those of you who were here? That's what we're talking about. You want to live a Christian life? You want to be strong in the Lord? You want to be able to conquer sin? I could walk through this thing. In John, boy, turn over John 14. I'm going to do it anyway. I just throw at you, okay? John 14, 12 through 21. I know there's a lot of scripture, but y'all listen fast because I'm going to try to read fast. I assure you, verse 12, John 14, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do greater things than these because I go to the Father. I have to stop there. I'm sorry. I used to pray that all the time. Lord, I want to do the things you, the greater things than you do. I quit praying that some years back. I don't want to do the greater things that Christ did, greater things than Christ did. I just want to do the things he did. How about that? How about we just do settle on doing the things he did? Y'all with me? I mean, he did open blind eyes. He opened dumb tongues. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. I mean, what else? He walked on water. I mean, what else you want to do? He went through walls. Didn't have to use doors. Didn't have to use windows. I can imagine that he just thought himself and he was wherever he wanted to be. Okay. Anyway, John 14. What did I stop? Just one verse, didn't I? He says, let me read the King James. I can get through that faster. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will. Boy, I could spend a week there. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Oh, wait, I got to stop that. He'll give you, you want some synonyms? He'll give you a counselor. He'll give you a helper. He'll give you an intercessor. He'll give you an advocate. He'll give you a strengthener, and he'll give you somebody that'll stand by you and never leave you. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you, y'all don't mind if I use Holy Spirit, do you? The Holy Spirit, and he may remain with you forever. He will remain. Why in the world are so many people afraid of the Holy Spirit? When the word clearly says that he is everything you need and more, and he will be with you. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Jesus says in these verses, I'm going to summarize it very simply, okay? He says, I will manifest myself to you. I will show myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. I will let myself be clearly seen by you. I won't go down that trip. I will make myself real to you. If we could grasp the reality of that and get it down in our spirits that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to be real to me. And he says, if you read these scriptures, and I don't have time, I'm running out of time. John 14, John 15, John 15, 26, 27 says, the Comforter will testify of me, and so will you testify of me. John 16, 13 says, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. He'll guide you into the kingdom. He will show you the kingdom. And he will permit you to enter the kingdom. The secrets are no longer hidden from you and I. We can know the secrets of the gospel. Well, I ain't got time to go down through all the scriptures. But if you read Acts 1, drop down verses 8 through 11. He says, you shall receive Holy Spirit power. That power to witness. The power, if you will, to release power. You can disassemble Spirit power. You can disassemble those things that are in your life that are not of Christ. And you can assemble or reassemble in your life the things that are of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. Did I lose you? Y'all with me? But you can only assemble that power in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to power things. Christ spoke life to dead things. If he is our example, then wouldn't you just think that we are to speak life to dead situations? My opinion, based on studying that I have done, is that people who are born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit have trouble witnessing and sharing their testimony. I didn't say they were not saved. I didn't say they were living in sin. Just being born again is not enough. You and I, if we're going to win those two-thirds of 7.5 billion people, we need more power than what our flesh has. I could not go to Columbia, South America at the age of 70 plus and stand from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night with one bathroom break and give out half of 11,000 scriptures had I not had the power of the Holy Spirit in me. In fact, I can't do what I've just done without that, because I can't speak in public, not in and of myself. But he can. He can. Now, I don't know what the need is in your life this morning. But Laura, if you'll come wherever you are. And I'd ask you to come. Any decision you need to make is between you and God. If you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. Pastor, pray for you. The altars get full. Dan can pray for you. Curtis can pray for you. Let me have a word of prayer. Inadequate, but I've tried to stay with your word, and your word says that your word sets the captive free. It heals, it saves, it fills. And I give you glory for that. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. You came in with me. I'm glad I know that. So I give you freedom to move, to use me, to use anyone else that you want to use, that it might be bring glory to my Father. Love and mercy is so far beyond my comprehension. There's so many times that I wonder, Lord, why me? And you keep saying, why not you? Move, precious Holy Spirit. Do your work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name.